Chapter 27, War for the English Throne, The Wars of the Roses. The French weren't the only people to fight with each other over who should be king. England had its own civil war over the throne. Cousins from one side of the royal family, called Lancastrians, fought against cousins from the other side of the family, called Yorks. The Yorks had a white rose on their banners, and the Lancastrians had a red rose on theirs. So today we call these wars over the English throne the Wars of the Roses. The Wars of the Roses began during the reign of Henry VI, the baby son of Henry V. When Henry VI grew up, he began ruling England for himself. He was a very good man. He spent hours and hours in prayer. He refused to have his enemies put to death. And once he even left a dance given in his honor because he thought that the dresses worn by the young ladies weren't decent enough. But Henry VI preferred reading and praying to ruling. Once he was reading in his room when his dukes came to ask him about a problem in his country. King Henry VI sighed and said to the priest who was with him, "They do so interrupt me by day and night. I can hardly find a moment to read holy teachings without disturbance." After he had been king for years and years, Henry VI had a fit of madness. Suddenly he stopped speaking to anyone. He sat in one place, staring in front of him for hours. He didn't seem to hear his friends when they spoke to him, even when they told him that his wife had just given birth to a son. Henry VI's madness was probably inherited. His grandfather, the King of France, had struggled with fits of insanity all his life. He even believed that he was made of glass and that he would break if he fell over. Now this madness had passed down to the English royal family. England needed someone to run the country until Henry VI recovered. So Henry's family asked Henry's distant cousin, the Duke of York, to become protector, or substitute king. The Duke of York agreed. But when Henry VI began to get better, the York family didn't want to give up the throne. Henry and his queen had to gather an army and march against the Duke of York's army. After a huge battle, the York supporters were defeated, and the Duke himself was killed. The queen ordered his head put up on the city walls with a paper crown on it. Now Henry VI could rule again. But the York attempt to get the throne wasn't over. The Duke of York's son, Edward, raised another army and attacked the royal forces again, and this time the Yorks were victorious. They put Henry VI in jail, and Edward took over the throne, proclaiming himself to be Edward IV, the rightful King of England. Edward was a handsome youth of 19, 6 feet tall, a good dancer, and a good fighter. He was also a capable king. He learned the names of every important man in his kingdom so that he could greet every one like a friend. But Edward fell in love with a woman his family didn't like. Elizabeth Woodville was older than he was, and she had been married before, to a knight who died fighting on Henry VI's side. Edward knew that his mother and his advisors would never approve of Elizabeth, so he married her in secret. Months later, when his advisors tried to arrange a marriage between Edward and a foreign princess, Edward had to admit that he was already married. He ordered London decorated with colored paper and tinfoil and brought Elizabeth Woodville into the city in a great parade. He also gave her 5 brothers important jobs in his government. Many of the English nobles didn't like that. They thought the Woodvilles were gaining too much power. So several of the nobles joined together with Henry VI's supporters and let Henry VI out of jail. They marched towards Edward's palace in the middle of the night to arrest him. But he heard they were coming, jumped out of bed, and fled from the country. Now Henry VI was king again, but not for long. Edward was busy raising another army. He marched back into England and took Henry VI prisoner. "My good cousin," Henry VI said when he was taken captive, "I know that in your hands my life will not be in danger." But he was wrong. While he was in prison, someone killed him. We don't know who the murderer was, but Edward probably gave the order for Henry VI's death. Now that his rival was gone, Edward IV was able to reign for 12 uninterrupted years. When he died, his 12-year-old son became king in his place. But this young king, Edward V, was too little to rule all alone. so his uncle, Richard, Edward IV's brother, offered to help. That was the end of the 12-year-old king's reign. Richard took over the throne and announced that he was now King Richard III of England. Young Edward V and his little brother mysteriously disappeared. The people of England murmured about Richard's cruelty. They whispered that he had ordered his brother's two sons murdered so that he could take the throne. They told stories about his wickedness. According to one story, Richard was born with a full set of teeth and ate live frogs for fun. According to another, he had a withered arm because Elizabeth Woodville, the young king's mother, had put a curse on him. Richard may have gotten his crown by wickedness, but he didn't keep it for long. 2 years after he became king, another royal cousin, Henry Tudor, gathered yet another army and challenged Richard's claim to the throne. Richard marched his own soldiers out to meet Henry at a battleground called Bosworth Field. Richard should have won the Battle of Bosworth Field because his army was twice as large as Henry's, but his soldiers didn't fight very hard. As a matter of fact, only a few hundred men were killed in the battle. The rest surrendered. When Richard's advisors saw that Henry was winning, they told Richard to run. But Richard refused. "I will not budge a foot," he yelled. "I will die King of England." And he did. He was killed in the battle, and the royal plume on his helmet was lopped off and given to Henry Tudor. Henry put it on and announced that he was now the new King of England. The Wars of the Roses were finally over. The Princes in the Tower. When Richard III died at the Battle of Bosworth Field, he left a mystery behind him. Remember, at first Richard wasn't king. He was the regent for his nephew, Edward V. But then Edward V and his little brother disappeared. What happened to these two boys? No one knew. Here is the story of the two princes in the tower. When Edward IV married Elizabeth Woodville, the woman his family didn't like, they had two sons. The oldest was named Edward after his father. The younger boy was named Richard after his uncle. The younger boy lived with his mother, the queen, in London, but little Edward lived in a quiet castle out in the country, with servants and tutors to look after him. One of the queen's brothers lived with him as his governor. He made sure that Edward finished all his schoolwork and did as he was told. When Edward IV died, his oldest son was only 12. Someone needed to help him rule England until he was old enough to be king on his own. Edward had left papers making his brother Richard the protector, or substitute king, for the little boy. But young Edward's mother and her brothers wanted to be the ones who helped the new king rule. So they didn't tell Richard, who was far away in the north of England, that Edward IV was dead. Instead, they planned to bring the little boy to London and have him crowned right away. Once young Edward was crowned king, he could choose his own helpers. But one of Richard's friends saw what was happening and sent Richard a frantic message. "Hasten to the capital with a strong force," he wrote. "Avenge the insult done by your enemies. You should take the young king immediately under your protection." As soon as Richard got this message, he set off for London himself with a band of soldiers. He met Edward, his servants, and his governor on their way to London for the young king's crowning. When Richard saw Edward, he knelt down and bowed his head. But he also told his nephew, "Your mother and her brothers are trying to take over your kingdom, and if you allow them to rule for you, they might try to get rid of you. I fear for your life." Edward insisted, "My mother and her brothers are innocent of any wrongdoing." But Richard and his soldiers disagreed. They locked Edward's governor in a nearby inn and arrested Edward's servants and soldiers. Then Richard put all his own soldiers in their place. And Richard sent a message to Edward's mother and her brothers saying, "I haven't kidnapped the king, my nephew. I have rescued him. I am more worried about his welfare than any of you. I will bring him to London very shortly so that he can be crowned." The queen and her brothers didn't believe Richard. They were sure that Richard would kill Edward and take the crown. But most people in London trusted Richard and refused to join the queen in fighting against him. So the queen took her younger son, Edward's little brother, and hid in a church where she would be safe. Meanwhile, Richard did just what he said he would do. He brought young Edward, now King Edward V, to London and rode with him through the streets while people cheered, "Long live the King!" He made all the important people of London swear allegiance to Edward V. But he still wouldn't allow the Queen or her brothers to see Edward, and soon he suggested that Edward would be safer if he moved to the Tower of London. The tower had been built hundreds of years before by William the Conqueror as a jail. Since then, other kings had added walls and buildings to the tower so that it was a palace as well as a jail. Edward had his own apartment in the tower with his own servants and his own soldiers, but all of his servants and soldiers were chosen by Richard. Next, Richard sent a whole band of armed men to the church where the Queen was staying. He ordered the Queen to send Edward's little brother to the Tower of London to live with Edward. "Edward is lonely," the message said. "He has no one to play with." The Queen didn't want to send her youngest son to stay at the tower. Then Richard would have control over both of the heirs to the throne. But with all of those armed men surrounding her, she had no choice. So she sent the little boy out to his uncle, and Richard took his nephew to live in the tower with his brother Edward. The next day, Richard announced that Edward's coronation, the ceremony in which he would be crowned king, would be put off until later. A few days later, a famous priest preached a sermon saying that Richard, not Edward, should be king. And a few days after that, a group of noblemen gathered together and asked Richard to take the crown away from Edward for the good of England. Many people suspected that Richard had ordered the priest and the nobleman to say these things. The people who had loved him as protector, one London man wrote in his journal, started to complain about him when he made himself king. But most people didn't complain very loudly, especially after Richard ordered Edward's governor beheaded. No one wanted to be next. Just a few weeks later, Richard rode to the Tower of London himself for his own coronation. His supporters crowned him king. Now Richard, the king's uncle, was Richard III, King of England. But what about Edward and his younger brother? They were still living in the tower, but fewer and fewer people were allowed to see them. Soon the people of London began to mutter that the princes had been killed. The rumors spread through England and even over to France. But for the next 2 years, no one knew for sure where the princes were or what had happened to them. Then Henry Tudor invaded England, killed Richard at the Battle of Bosworth, and became king. When Henry arrived in London, he had the tower searched, but there was no sign of the boys. No one ever discovered what happened to the princes. 25 years later, one of Richard's knights claimed that he had murdered the two boys, but he confessed to avoid being tortured, so he might have made this story up. Two important historians then wrote that Richard had ordered the boys killed. But both of those historians wanted to please Henry VII, who had replaced Richard on the throne, so they were anxious to make Richard look as bad as possible. Other historians later suggested that Henry VII did away with the boys when he had the tower searched, so that he would have no trouble keeping his throne. Almost 200 years later, workers were clearing away a clutter of old buildings in the Tower of London when they found an old chest buried in the ground. When they opened the chest, they found two skeletons. Almost everyone agreed that these two skeletons were those of the princes. But who killed them? We'll never know for sure, but one thing is certain. In the late Middle Ages, being the heir to the throne was dangerous.